You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Before I announce tonight's guest, I invite you to support my work by purchasing my autobiography, Tales of a Zany Mystic. It's now available in paperback and on Kindle at Amazon Books. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Tanis Helliwell back to the show. Tanis is the founder of the International Institute for Transformation, which, since January 2000, has offered programs to assist individuals to become conscious creators to work with the spiritual laws governing our world. Tanis, a mystic in the modern world, has brought spiritual consciousness into the mainstream for over 30 years. She is the author of Pilgrimage with the Leprechauns, Embraced by Love, Summer with the Leprechauns, Take Your Soul to Work, and Decoding Your Destiny, Keys to Humanity's Spiritual Transformation. She is a student and teacher of the Inner Mysteries, living on the seacoast north of Vancouver, Canada. Since childhood, she has seen and heard elementals, angels, and master teachers in higher dimensions. So, let's welcome Tanis back to the show now. Hi, Tanis, how are you?
It's good to be back on, Lance.
Well, you know, it's been a while since we talked last. I had read your both your books, I think you have two books on leprechauns, and I just fell in love with those. And since I've read your two recent books, which are also wonderful, and so you've had a chance to write two books since we spoke last.
I know it's been a very busy year, actually. Decoding Your Destiny came out just a year ago, and now Manifest Your Soul's Purpose has been out for just about a month and a half. But you know, Lance, that even though books can come out at the same time, it doesn't mean you haven't spent 6 years writing them.
Oh yes, no kidding.
You know from your own experience.
Right, exactly. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, indeed. Well, you know, you also travel extensively around the world, and I was wondering if you see, we're so close to the end of the Mayan calendar and the various prophetic end times in December. I'm wondering if you're seeing the shift occurring in a particular way or a group.
I have been noticing changes now for several years, and I think most people have. It's a feeling of increased anxiety, structures breaking down, organizations breaking down, relationships breaking down, and not feeling that we're on solid ground anymore. It's been growing over the last few decades with the environmental collapses and economic collapses, but it seems to have accelerated in the last couple of years and has moved into people's personal lives in a way maybe that it hadn't before. I think, you know, you come to that point where you look at the situation in the world and it isn't just theory that things are changing anymore. It becomes a practical reality, and that is what we're seeing now, and what I think in this last 6 months anyway we see is leading up to this December the 21st.
It also seems to be that things are polarizing more dramatically, and that probably part of that might be due to the need to be able to see them clearly so that we can make better choices.
Yes, we can see such dramatic things like the the European euro, and will it be rescued? When has something like this happened in our lifetimes? It hasn't.
No.
Where you have countries all over Europe joined legally, and with some countries not being able to make their payments and defaulting, and other countries having to decide to step in and rescue them or not. And what I love about what the German chancellor has been doing is saying that they won't let it end. So they didn't have, the Germans really didn't have an escape clause when they entered into having this financial joining with the European euro. And I think that what we're seeing happening financially is happening to other people as well in other ways. We're realizing there is no escape clause now. It's almost like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was the expert on death and dying, talked about the five predictable stages in dying and how that the final one is acceptance, that you are going to die. I think we're there. I think that the fight is going out of us, and we're accepting that major changes are going to happen in the earth.
Right, right. That brought to mind the phrase, since we're nearing December, there is no Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's it exactly. But before you get to that acceptance, you start off being into kind of ignoring the situation, and then you get into denial, and then you get into anger, and then you get into depression. And so I think that people now are in either the third or fourth or fifth stages. Some people are just very, very angry at others for what they've done to the earth and or them.
Right,
and
right.
Others have moved to deep depression and seem to be locked on their computer screens or their TV sets with these reality TV programs, just trying to escape, and
right.
But others have moved into acceptance and are kind of waiting for the shoe to drop.
Well, you know, it seems like there's been such a mystique around the idea of death, and we have, at least here in America, we've been pretty much living in denial about it. We live in the moment. We live for things, material things, because that's what we're taught from birth. At least I was, being born in 1950, watching a little round screen with electrons flying at it to buy things, and now we've become the ultimate consumers, and we're literally consuming the planet that supports us, and not even realizing that she's alive, and we've lost our connection with the idea that there is spirit in all things, and I think that is really the underlying problem. That is smacking us in the face and will smack us, and I don't see any way around it except to confront our attachment to material things.
I agree, and I think, as you say, we've been a culture that has been in denial of death and wanting to have perpetual youth, and perpetual good things and happiness and feeling that we deserve it and that we can buy it.
Right, right.
And there's some things we can't buy. We can't buy our way out of the fact that each of us is going to die,
right.
Hopefully to be recycled again.
Right.
And also that the whole cycle of nature is based on birth, death, and rebirth.
Yeah.
And we need to trust, as we're going in this dying process or ending process of the ways that things have been, that there will be a rebirth, that there is a day after December the 21st, whether it happens in this reality or right. in other realities,
right.
It's still happening.
Right, right. Yes, I totally agree with that. And it can, could happen on a higher, in another dimension. And you explore that in your books, which I really love. And you also provide such a wonderful, vast overview of where we came from and where we're headed. There was a particular part in Decoding Your Destiny that I liked, where you provide an account of our beginnings and our history, and you refer to some of the creators, and I've studied Sitchin's work, so I know you're going to know who I'm talking about. You refer to the Anunnaki as the laggards, and I thought that was quite interesting. What can you talk a little bit about how you got that, how you decided to come about calling them that? And they still have a hand in things today, don't they?
They do. And for people who aren't familiar, perhaps, with Sitchin, what I talk about in Decoding Your Destiny is that humanity has been going through seven major stages in its evolution to become a conscious creator, and that we're right now entering the seventh stage, and that is the stage of the enlightened human. And I talk about how in earlier stages, namely the early Atlantean stage, if we believe in Atlantis, but I do,
right.
or I wouldn't have written this in the book,
right.
that we have received a setback in our history, and that this was the fall, what we hear about in the Bible as the fall or the exodus from Eden, and that this was brought on by another group of people who came to the earth as laggards from their own developing civilization. And they were meant to learn love, because this is a planet of love, and to learn lessons which they hadn't learned in their own
right.
civilization, and that unfortunately a lot of them did not, and that they led to the genetic engineering of animals and humans, and the cutting off of our budding consciousness as early humans
right.
with the Creator and the spiritual path.
Right.
And so Sitchin does talk about the Anunnaki, and this is found in Babylonian accounts and Canaanite accounts about this. And there's also scientific evidence as well. I like the word laggard because that, to me, is what not only that group of people were, but we also in humanity have laggards as well. People who are lagging behind what the next step is that we all need to move towards, which is conscious creation. And I really believe that as we're going through this spiritual transformation on the planet, the Earth is moving to a higher frequency, and we humans are being called to move to a higher frequency. And those people who do not and don't have that higher frequency because they are controlled by the lower impulses,
right.
Will be laggards that will be taken off the Earth to other planets or solar systems to continue their evolution.
Yes, that makes a great deal of sense. If they don't have a sufficient empathy and conscience by this time and are using their gifts and abilities to manipulate humans and events and people and create wars and basically set us back, take us back evolutionary wise, so that we can be controlled. then it seems that there has to be a separation or a parting of the ways.
Well, it makes it necessary just with different energy. Just as a plant has different energy from a stone, an animal has a different energy from a plant. And human beings have been in earlier stages of our evolution, we've been more animal humans. We've been controlled more by how much can we eat, how much can we consume, the lower emotions of greed and gluttony and lust. And we're now moving to a higher human. The enlightened human will be filled with compassion and wanting to serve others and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different frequency.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know many of the people that I talk to and much of the reading that I do involves those who are in that frequency or who resonate within that vibration, who are having difficulty with this one being so dense and apparently getting denser. It seems like there's almost a densification going on with, harmful additives to the water, such as fluoride, the GMOs, chemtrails, and the rest of it. It's really becoming a battle just to survive, and that seems to be a big distraction to keeping us in survival mode and fear, rather than in looking at what we can create and being authentic in our own selves and not worried about, you know, where is the next meal coming from and are we going to be harmed by this, that, and the other thing. So many on the planet, as you know, you mentioned the indigos and some of the other new kids that are around are already in that frequency, probably way ahead of us. Wondering when we're going to catch up with them.
Yes, I really like what you're what you're saying about the densification that's happening. And I do believe that there are those on the planet who are laggards still, leftover laggards from these earlier cycles.
Right.
And that the same things that brought Atlantis down, which was the misuse of crystal and energy and the misuse of earth forces and the use of genetic engineering even then, that these are the same things that some of the laggards, reincarnated laggards, are still interested in now and are brilliant at it. And this is the other thing, is that people think that they can often tell if a person is motivated for the good or not the good, and that the smarter a person is, the more that they will be a conscious person. And it's not based on intellect. People can be brilliant people intellectually and may have their spirituality in a subnormal range.
Well, you could. Some people say that the world is partially ruled by psychopaths.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And another person could have a relatively low intellectual capacity and yet be spiritually what I would call having high SQ, spiritual intelligence.
Right. And you mentioned that refers in part to our ability to move out of the mind, at least the lower mind, and into the intuitive, or I guess you would say the right brain, intuitive half of the of our system, and into the heart and the high heart, that is really where the seat of consciousness is, and the seat of creation.
Yes, and anybody can change. It's I don't want people thinking, oh God, maybe I was a laggard and I came from another solar system, and so I'm doomed forever,
right,
because that's not the case.
Right.
I believe that we can all have a change of heart where we become motivated by a service to others. The difference between the high heart and the low heart is the lower heart, we have our real preferences. We like our partner and our children and
right.
our friends, and it's almost like a possessiveness that they're ours. And we're always wanting to give all the good things to them, but we don't really care about what's happening with other people on the earth. Mm. And the higher heart, we feel we treat people more like a nun or a priest or a monk, which is the Buddhists always say, treat everyone like your mother. Mm-hmm. And that means that we love everyone equally.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's where we are going. Now, we can still have preferences around who it's easier to be around, let's say.
Oh, right. Right, of course.
That's natural.
Right.
But as far as our commitment to service goes, it's treating everyone equally.
It just seems like a natural evolution that we would go through, because at some point, as you know, in the quantum field, what we do to another, we're literally doing to ourselves. Everything is a mirror. And so what we're creating in our life, if all we have to do is look at our own lives, and we can see where the mistakes are, because if we don't like the reflection that's coming back, that is an area that we're creating that we have been in denial about or not looking at and being responsible for. So it just seems that if we are literally everything that is, the beggar on the street and the prince and princess, then we're just as responsible for that beggar starving as we are for that person who has all the wealth and is hoarding it so that many cannot even have a meal to eat.
Yes, I agree. And the work that I've been doing for, so many years now, 30 years, I guess, is really based on our personal transformation. And the Dalai Lama did say that he was more and more convinced there would never be peace on the earth until each person went through their personal transformation. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to know all this in theory. I mean, Decoding Your Destiny is a great book on the theory of why we need to be spiritual and giving people reasons to want to be. But I believe that we have to apply it. And the new book that just came out, Manifest Your Soul's Purpose, is really devoted to that, Lance, for people actually applying it in their own life and in a very practical, concrete way. How do we fulfill our soul's purpose?
Right, right. And that seems to be what's missing. You know, for people who may have done a little bit of research already, they might have be more attracted to a vaster overview, but until you actually do the work, the actual physical work of sitting down and thinking about your life and visualizing and being totally truthful with yourself, that seems to be a major key to it, is the ability to be honest with yourself. And your book does that. Manifest Your Soul's Purpose is really excellent at taking you through step by step and helping you to identify what it is that you is what you are here to do. And I hear that often when people say, gee, I just don't know what I'm here to do, I don't know what I'm doing, and so on and so forth. Well, now I know what I can do. I can recommend your book, Manifest Your Soul's Purpose.
Oh, thanks.
They need to just sit down and read it and do the exercises as they get them and do the work. Some of us did some of this work early in our years, but it can always help to go back and look at that again too. So,
Well, it can, because our soul's goals at 20 are not likely our soul's goals at 50.
Well, right.
They change, don't they?
No
you
kidding.
Know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that book actually is based on working in the corporate world for 30 years. A lot of people say, if you're a spiritual person, then you have to somehow disallow or cut yourself off in a way from the real world, the manifested world. There's something contaminating about it.
Right.
And for me, there is no separation.
Right.
If we're spiritual, we also need to be able to function fully in the third dimensional reality.
Yeah.
And realize that the spiritual principles apply and make us successful there too, because the Dalai Lama, is the Dalai Lama spiritual? Is the Dalai Lama successful? I think so.
Right.
Or someone like Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Was she successful? I mean, we could say she led a very simple life as a nun, or the Dalai Lama, a very simple life as a monk. But they draw to them millions of dollars, which then go into good causes. So there's no reason why we cannot be prosperous at the same time as we're spiritual.
Right. Along with that, do you see the need for corporations to receive a major overhaul in terms of their priorities?
Totally. But corporations are made up of individuals. And, I'm now not working in corporations as I did before for 30 years. But, yeah, I've worked for the big ones, all the IBMs and the universities and the banks and all of them, and at high levels.
Wow.
And my work has always been designed on creating healthy organizations happen by helping individuals to become conscious, because conscious individuals make good decisions.
Yes.
Unconscious humans make bad decisions.
Right. Well, the corporate model I remember is don't let anybody make any decisions and keep them as dumb and downed as possible so that you can retain control. But apparently there is a major shift in the direction that you're talking about. Which is necessary, because then the individual can take on more and be responsible for more, and there's more growth. And those that are at higher levels can release some of the things that they think that only they can do.
That's right. I always say that A managers hire A people, and B managers hire C people, because they don't want to be threatened by somebody else's competence.
Right.
So it's a mark. It really is easy to see the quality of a human being by who they surround themselves with.
Oh, right.
It, as you said, it mirrors us. It's a reflection of us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so no, you're not working with corporations anymore, but you do travel quite a lot.
Oh, totally. I'm so devoted now. In the last 5 years or so, I've been withdrawing from working with the corporate world so that I could devote myself full-time to our International Institute for Transformation, doing workshops. And, I work a lot in Europe, and I work for doctors and psychiatrists. And I've just got an article coming out with McKinsey. McKinsey is a management consultancy group, and they're the seventh largest in the world. And they've just asked me for an article there that's coming out in January on manifesting your soul's purpose and how to raise your spiritual intelligence. So,
wow.
And because I've done work for their partners internationally. So although I say I'm not doing it, there are still ways
right,
that
right.
I don't know how you do it, Lance, but the way I do it is I allow the universe to tell me what it wants.
Yeah.
So I don't go out and ask always, but I respond to what the universe puts right in my line of vision with people walking into my life. Do you do
absolutely.
That kind of thing?
Yes, absolutely. That is the secret for me. And sometimes it can be as simple as a short conversation in the cereal box aisle. aisle with somebody who, you know, the light goes on and you see a kind of a golden aura over them, and you have this exchange, and you just know that it was a higher exchange, and that it's understood that you probably won't see each other again, but you'll never forget each other. And then, of course, there are the other opportunities that come through doing radio and writing and so on and so forth. But yes, it is pretty much. The universe is the presents to me, and I just have to be present to recognize the opportunity.
I find that those also are increasing right now.
Oh,
these
yeah.
synchronicities. Isn't
yes.
that interesting?
Yes.
Because
yes.
that is a mark, I believe, of the new age we're entering,
yes.
that our life becomes more one of synchronicities, because we are working on in the flow. We're on the current where opportunities open.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I have a theory that everything is literally is in total synchronicity, and we're just not experiencing it because of the variety of ways that we can remove ourselves from that. But as we move closer to synchronicity, it's like landing lights to a plane. You begin to see the lights, and you can make subtle adjustments, and the synchronicities will occur faster and faster. And I am guessing that there may be much more of that occurring for more people as we get closer to the December 21st date and the few months beyond that. That synchronicities will appear to be increasing, but to me, that's what is. Synchronicities are what is, and we're just we're laggards. We're lagging behind because of our senses don't perceive that rapidly. But we're looking with the wrong senses, and when the subtle senses kick in, then the synchronicities just start showing up all over the place, and you can't miss it.
Yeah, that's true, and I love your analogy of the plane and the landing lights.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that something terrible is going to happen on December the 21st, or do you think that
no.
we're just going through subtle, what looks like subtle shifts, but are really major, major shifts, but it's only the start of a process that will be happening for hundreds of years. You see, here I am interviewing you.
Well, that's quite all right. I don't mind. I tend to agree with your second question that we're going through many subtle shifts, but I wouldn't discount the possibility that some will experience what they believe in very strongly in some dimension. That there may be some people who will experience some very horrible things, but that doesn't preclude the majority of those who are co-creating here with Gaia, or Gaia Sophia, if you like, to be moving forward in an extremely magical and positive momentum, in which the lower densities and the lower vibrations begin to kind of wash away, in a sense. They just can no longer function here as they have taken over for so many thousands of years. There will be a sense of lightning, a lightening up and freedom that we have never had, probably never truly had, except at the very beginning when we were, you know, ghost-like spirit forms, at the very beginning of time, game playing thing that we're finishing up now, at least this part of it. But it's seems like we'll be going through more subtle changes, which are actually much bigger than we realize.
I like the idea of this both and. What it's not an either or. I see it as both existing simultaneously as well. The third dimensional reality as well as these evolving fourth and fifth dimensional realities. And that the days of the either or, which is our scientific brain trying to figure out is it a yes or a no, are ending. And we are going to need to embrace these this more complex, but in some way paradoxical way of thinking of both and.
Absolutely, because it's the only way that we can perceive multidimensionally. In other dimensions, you don't have just an either or. It can't be that way. So we can choose to remain befuddled and confused, and confusion can be a high state, but living in paradox is actually a higher state by containing all of the possibilities within you, all of the and, ors, yes, nos, whites, blacks, purples, you know, and colors that we haven't even registered yet, all existing simultaneously. And the more we can expand our consciousness to embrace all of it, I think the easier the time we'll have of shifting into the worlds that are all around us that we are not perceiving, and which you write about so beautifully in your books.
Oh, thanks. One of the things that I find that helps with this is one of the programs that is most important to me is one called Transform Yourself that I've been teaching for some years now. And this will sound like a plug to people, I'm sure, but it's true. You can get it on my internet, the Transform Yourself program. And what it does is that it helps people erase their etheric programming. Mm. And the reason I think this is essential is that our etheric programs are the memory programs that we've had, not only in our own life this time, but over all the lifetimes and all over the collective history of humanity. Mm. And it's these etheric programs that are outmoded, that keep on reprogramming us with thoughts of fear and loss and pain and scarcity. And if we don't erase the programs in our etheric body, it's like a weed which where you haven't got the root, and it just keeps growing again. Yeah. And in order to erase these etheric memories, you have to have, once again, what we were talking about earlier, a strong enough, high enough frequency.
Yes.
And then with a higher frequency, you can actually start erasing the programs. And so I see that this is another reason why we need to move to a higher frequency, because if we don't, we'll always be a victim of these past programs.
Exactly. And what happens with something that keeps recurring, it becomes an eternal recurrence. And then it becomes so ingrained that you can't pull yourself out of it. And so as you said, I think it was Einstein that said that you can't solve a problem at the same level from which it was created. So you mentioned that you have to raise your vibration, and I'm guessing that you take the person through a sufficient techniques to raise the vibration so that you can do this from a higher place.
Absolutely. Yeah, these things have to be, they're great in theory, but once again, as we've been discussing, it has to be a practical, and yes, I give people CDs and MP3s to help them do these kinds of things and exercises. It's absolutely the most important work we can do right now is our own transformation, so that each of us can can show up more fully in the earth.
Yeah.
On the earth and in the earth.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and you talk about that, too. I thought that was interesting about the inner earth. Do you want to share a little bit about some of the different beings that are other species that are evolving on the earth briefly?
Okay, if you wish. It's a book that I keep on starting to write, and I haven't gotten very far, although I do a lot of teaching on it. It's on hybrids, and that even though we all look like we're human, that most of us, or a great majority of us, well, that's the same as most as, are hybrids. So we could have angel hybrids or elemental hybrids or beings from the center of the earth and dolphin hybrids, dragon hybrids, so that each race that we originally came from, and some of us feel we've come from Sirius or the Pleiades, actually has certain gifts, and that in addition to finding out what are our intellectual gifts or emotional gifts or physical gifts, we have to look at our spiritual gifts. And if we knew that we were a hybrid and what hybrid it was, it gives us a key to understanding our spiritual gifts. Do you think this is an idea that's ahead of its time, Lance?
It certainly sounds like it. It sounds like one that's due out right now.
I know. I've got all the lectures all. I know. I've got to get this out.
Yes, it makes so much sense, because then if you know, and so many people feel like they're from, they relate to certain plants or animals, certain entities, and certain stars. And so it wouldn't be interesting to find out what attributes and what higher qualities went with those various things, the dolphin people and the whale people and, however you want to see it, the Syrians and Pleiadians and so on. So, yeah, I think you should definitely keep working on that one. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it is. But you know yourself that you've got to come out with things at the right time.
Well,
if you're a little bit too early or a little bit too late, or my God.
Right, that's right.
But I do think it is the right time for people to start addressing this, because now that most people are believing in angels, even Time Magazine talks about that, and a lot of people are believing in elementals.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Well, yes. The most important thing that I see, that belief system that has, that can cause, that will, can help us and could and has hindered us, is the idea that we are born and we die and that's it. And once people work with the idea that they are eternal and infinite or immortal souls, on some level, whatever level they, we choose to see that as, then it completely changes your perspective about what you're going to be doing here, and that you can't just rape and pillage and leave, and you've had your fun, and somebody else can clean up the mess. It doesn't work that way. In fact, it's more likely that we may be returning to the very mess we created, maybe even instantly. I don't know that for sure, but I've spoken with enough people who say that we do incarnate back into the place where we left, and so it seems like it would make more sense if we were immortal, our soul part was immortal, if we were leaving our space in a better place, so that when we returned, or whoever returns, will enjoy the beauty and the creation that we left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very, very true.
Do you see a more telepathic move in society that is occurring? I'm sensing that there is a you know, the animals communicate, as you know, instantaneously. They have their own form of communication with each other, and the animal spirits communicate with each other instantly. And, of course, we do, too, at the collective level, but it's unconscious. I'm seeing something that I'm wondering if you're noticing, too, that we might be moving into a collective consciousness, that what we're looking at, as you say, we're looking to become conscious beings, conscious creators of our lives, and that as that occurs, we're able to read or sense into each other's fields a lot better, because there's more clarity and less density as we drop the what's false and inauthentic. What's authentic remains behind. So it makes sense that we would be able to see each other more clearly for who we are. Do you see that as a possibility coming up in the near future?
Absolutely. So that we're not relating just to the personality of the person, we're
right.
relating really to their soul. I think that, remember, there's that expression about the eyes are the gateway to the soul or something like that, and I think that when you look at somebody's eyes, you do get a feeling that it draws you into who they really are.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
And as you say, telepathy is very key to this, and it is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
I often have thoughts about people who, and when I call them, like I'll think of somebody that I haven't thought of for 2 months or something, or 3 months. And then all of a sudden I must call them, and I'll call them, and they said, "My God, my mother just died 10 minutes ago."
Right.
And this happens.
Right.
This happens all the time, picking up thoughts from people who are nowhere near me. And I think another thing I'd like to add that is happening to people, and I know that this is very much part of my life, is that it is not confined to my waking reality, and that my sleeping state, I often am conscious of different people I'm meeting, different decisions I'm making, and that they are just as real as this waking reality, what we call our waking reality.
Yes, absolutely. Boy, I'm sure glad you shared that, because that's been happening for me a lot more lately as well.
And it's a breakdown.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing happening is a breakdown from the boundary that used to separate waking from sleeping.
Yes, yes. And if that's true, there may come a point in which we may not need as much sleep, if we need any at all.
Yes, and we'll realize, because in these higher frequencies that we're moving to, we're moving to the place where, as we think something, we create it instantaneously.
Right.
And
right.
So we will realize that this is exactly what does happen in our dream, what we call our dream state, which is really being awake in our astral world. And when we're in that astral world, we become aware that we can travel anywhere in space and time. We can we can see anyone. We can have any surroundings. And I think that as we're moving into these higher frequencies, that is becoming not a theory, but a reality.
Oh, yes. And that really is who we are. The expanded self, not the one that's kind of compacted down into this little accordion thing with five senses that, you know, is limited to a few coordinates.
Yes, that's something that a lot of people learn when they die anyway, I've noticed. I've always been able to hear or see people who've passed over. And this is one of the realities that they know, that in the world where they are in, where they don't have their physical body anymore, they they can create a reality that they want. Mm-hmm. Once again, though, I'm talking about if they have a relatively high frequency.
Right.
As a soul, they realize that. As
right.
opposed to somebody who is, an alcoholic, you know, clinging to the lowest things that you would want to. Not that all alcoholics are necessarily clinging to the world, but I'm talking
right.
about if it's only our lower chakras and you find yourself when you've passed over over a bar the whole time.
Right. Right.
And that's all you want. You want people to drink around you, and you miss the fact that you can't drink, and you're tortured by the fact you can't drink, rather than to realize that you left that body behind and that life behind, and that you don't have to be doing that, that you can
right.
think of a different reality. I'm talking about any addiction, actually, that controls us, Lance. It's one thing, like, to have a glass of wine. I like to have a glass of wine, actually. But it's another thing to be controlled by it.
Oh, yes. Well, I have been one of those people who, in my lifetime, has been controlled by just about every major addiction that came up, prescriptions, alcohol, and illegal drugs. So I have been down that path, and I can say that it is definitely the dark night of the soul. And it is so much higher to be out of that path and to be able to think clearly and to manifest my soul's purpose rather than always be lost in the world as a victim.
Wow. So when you were addicted to those various things, you were victimized by them.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. No question about it. I mean, talk about a recurrence, things that recur that keep you attached and you can't get out of. I would say addictions and alcohol are probably some of the worst. I mean, you have addictions to power also. You see people in high places that just have to have more, more money, more power. So all addictions are really...
That's right, even food.
Even food. And we take all of these things, and I think it's just, at some point we substituted something that we didn't have, and we thought it was love that we were getting. And ultimately, it seems to be the search for a connection to the Creator.
I agree with you. If I even think if we even went out further on the idea of addiction, some people have a shopping addiction.
Oh, well, yes. Talk of Black Friday was just...
right. It just...
I think if you weren't out there with your shopping.
No, I'm not a shopaholic. I have to be careful about coffee, however, but so we could be a coffee addict as well. There's anything we could be addicted to, a gambling addiction.
Oh, yeah.
An exercise addiction. Some people are addicted to exercise and to keep their youth. And they think and they, as soon as they start getting older, or they feel that they're not of value anymore. So this could be facial surgeries or any of these things.
Oh my gosh, yes, implants all over the place. I mean, you end up looking like a lumpy monkey at the end of your life. But
I think it's good to say all these various ones so that.
Yeah.
People can think, let me broaden my idea of what is addiction and see, is there a way that I may be addicted to something? Some people are addicted to talking.
Oh, yes. Television, music, downloading, texting.
Yeah.
And we didn't mention the most obvious of them all, sex.
Yes. Oh, I thought I had mentioned it earlier.
Okay, maybe I wanted to hear it again. I don't know. My addiction was cropping up. But Yes, absolutely. Yes,
and it's good to be laughing about it too, because this is one of the cures. One of the cures, I think, for our own transformation is to have a sense of humor about our own failings, and not hold ourselves too seriously or others too seriously. So, because if we are too serious about ourselves and others and our failings, we become unforgiving. And then it doesn't allow us to change, and it doesn't allow anyone else to change. It's too rigid.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because one of the most difficult things that it seems that for us to work through is our own judgments of ourselves and our judgments of others. And we simply must release them, because those are the weights that hold us down like a lead balloon and keep us from rising and being lighter. So, you know, anytime we judge someone else, when you release that judgment, you're letting go of an enormous burden, and you're actually doing something for yourself that's changing the whole collective consciousness. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, Tanis. Well, we have just a minute or two left, and I just wanted you to have time to share anything that you wanted to share at this most propitious moment in the world, and also to tell people where they can find your websites and your books and so on and so forth.
Well, you can go on my website, which is www.iitransform.com. That stands for the International Institute for Transformation. And so you can see where the books, you know, where you can get the books from there, but Amazon's always a good place. Ingram, any bookstore has an Ingram. But you can also, if people are interested, the courses are also listed there, the Transform Self and Transform Work. As far as what to talk about for the last concluding moments, I think that we have to have what the Buddhists always say is right motivation for our actions, and that not to feel we have to be perfect, because none of us are, that we're all works in progress. And however, if we keep on recommitting and keep on trying and recommitting, we will eventually transcend our little selves and be more in our higher selves.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Tanis, it was a delight having you back and talking with you again, and I can't think of a better way to spend my Saturday evening in November on the 24th.
Thank you very, very much for having me too, Lance. It really is enjoyable speaking with a kindred spirit.
Thank you so much. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And have a good evening, everyone. Good night.